review going on, but it's appropriate today. Hi, everyone. Martin Zetter once again pushing forward in the unveiling. And the set is very dark, and this is appropriate when we're going to talk about plague. We're going to talk about the plague, a plague that likes of which you've never seen. But I'd like to review the unveiling 6-6, which we spoke of yesterday. How appropriate, 6-6. Do not injure the wine or the olive oil. And I agree with that. And I have a bottle of wine here. We buy the most inexpensive wine we can find here. In Sao Paulo, Brazil, this is a Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's the cheapest available. And I am glad that the wine's not going to be injured, or the olive oil. We have very strange brands. If you're from the United States, you wouldn't know this. Andalusia, you never heard of this in the U.S., believe me. You see that? I'm showing it to you on the Zender cam, otherwise known as the studio cam, Andalusia. It's Virgem, not Virgin. Olive oil, but Virgem, V-I-R-G-E-M. That's Portuguese. That's the language they speak in Brazil. It's extra Virgem. Why they just can't say virgin and get it over with? I think the Latin language has some influence here. But I'm glad that there's no injury to the olive oil. I'm going to actually drink some olive oil on the air here. And I'm going to, because God thinks very highly of this, because it is spared in the days of famine. Olive oil is spared and wine is spared. So if you're not used to either olive oil or wine and you're an Israelite, I would forget. If you're in the body of Christ, forget it. You don't have to worry about any of this. But if you're an Israelite, here we go. Yeah, that's very healthy for you. You're welcome to eat it with a teaspoon. I drink it right out of the bottle. But if you're an Israelite and you're not used to either olive oil or wine, I would get used to it quick, because that's the only thing going to be available. It's not going to be injured. How do I know? Because Scripture says so. God says so. I'm a great genius. That's not how I know, because God says so. Now, we spoke of, I keep thinking about this thing with the forced millennium. The millennium's coming, and Israel longs for it so badly that, brighten it up a little bit here, that they're going to accept any man who poses even as Christ, but it's not Christ, to bring the millennium to them. And it's going to come, they want it to come artificially. But even there are some camps in Christianity today, forget Israel, who are trying to say, trying to insist that the book of Revelation is historical, that it's already happened, and they think, this is hard to believe, they think that the events of 70 AD, when the armies of Titus came to Jerusalem with the Roman flag flying high, destroyed the temple, scattered the Jews, that was the tribulation. Just a few things missing there. Namely, one of the things I'm going to talk to you about today, but the kingdom did not come. Israel is not the ruler of the world. God has not removed irreverence from Jacob as he promised to do. Jesus Christ has not returned bodily. The saints have not been roused from the dead. There is not a temple in Jerusalem. Lions are not lying down with lambs. I was at the zoo last year and they had a cage. The lions were in a cage. I said, I don't think the kingdom's here. Otherwise, those lions would be lying down with the lambs. And the earth is going to learn righteousness. And the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And I'm thinking to myself, no. And the knowledge of the Kardashians is covering the earth. And the knowledge of who won Dancing with the Stars. The knowledge of the latest Super Bowl champion. The knowledge of which record hit number one. That covers the earth. But spare not the wine. Do not injure the wine. And I have some wine here today because I'm going to need this to get through the Green Horse Rider. So thank you for indulging me. I don't know what's going to happen to tobacco. They did not say do not injure the tobacco. So I think that the tobacco crop with the grain is going to be blighted. That's a bad thing, by the way. So I don't have to worry about it because I'll be smoking Celestial cigars. So, and it's true. What verse is it? I'm going to look this up now. Wine makes the heart of man glad. This is appropriate because we just read about wine in Revelation 6:6. Let me do a search for this before we get to the plague. I can't wait to get to the plague. Don't get me wrong. Wine makes heart of man glad. That would be Psalm 104, verse 15. And I will read it to you now from the New International Version. Wine gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains. This is it. Look at this. It mentions wine and oil at the same time. Wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine. All right, that's it. I'm putting olive oil on my face. Wine and oil, and that's what's spared. There's the mercy in the midst of tribulation. That's fantastic. All right, folks, I've never done this before, but I'm going to now put olive oil on my face to make it shine. And I'm even now, my heart is getting glad as I've taken my first few sips of wine. I'm going to try not to get any of this on my sports coat here, but I'm going to take in some olive oil here. And I'm going to rub it into my skin, and let's see if I get the advertised shine. For those of you who are listening to this, you may want to run home and go to ZenderOnRevelation.com. My gosh, look at that. I have a rosy glow. I've just added color to my face. That's fantastic. Let me celebrate with another sip of the wine. And again, referencing the Unveiling 6, chapter 6, verse 6. You know, I feel better already. This is fantastic. This is God's remedy. Why do we ignore God's remedies? This is really great. I'm feeling better already. So now let's talk about mass death, shall we? I am in the Unveiling chapter 6, and I am in verse 7, and we are now witnessing the breaking of seal number 4 of the seven-sealed scroll handed to the Lambkin by God that marks the crisis of the eons besides the cross, a major shift, should we say, between three evil eons and the two good eons. And this is what happens. Of course, the bad news comes first. When you hear that old thing, I got good news and bad news, what do you want first? And if you have any sense at all, you'll say, give me the bad news first, because you're hoping that the good news will trump it and somehow mollify the bad feelings engendered by the bad news. And that's what's happening in the unveiling. We're seeing the bad news first. Give me the bad news first. Okay, well, we got these four horsemen seen by John, not literal horses on the earth. And they're going to be conquest, death, famine, conquest, war, famine, and plague, which is followed by death. Geez, what's the good news? Well, it's only going to last 3.5 years, and it's going to be essential to bring in a 1,000-year kingdom. Ah, that is good news. And here's some good news. You're going to have to pay 8 times the amount for food, 8 times the amount for gas, 8 times the amount for everything, because there's going to be a severe shortage of grain. Oh my God, that's terrible. I thought you said, well, the good news is that the wine and the olive oil are going to be preserved, so you're going to be paying regular prices for wine and olive oil. Well, what's the advantage of that? Because you're going to give your face a rosy glow, you're going to give it color, you're going to look good, and you're going to be able to numb your senses a little bit with the wine. And this is literal truth. I'm not making any of this up. How can you make any of this up? All right. So here's more bad news. Fourth seal, open. And when the Lambkin opens the fourth seal, I hear the voice of the fourth animal. I'm in the Unveiling, chapter 6, verse 7, saying, come. And I perceived, and lo, a greenish horse, and the name of him who is sitting upon it is Death and the Unseen. Death is the absence of life. In order to define our terms, death is the absence of life. Hardly anybody knows this, because most people think that when you die, you're not really dead, but you go either directly to heaven or hell. This is also known as the immortality of the soul. So hardly anybody knows that death is the absence of life. They think it's another form of life in a different place. So I'm here to correct along the way as we go here. Death and the unseen. The unseen means exactly that, unseen. It's the Hebrew word Sheol and the Greek word Hades. It just means to ask, like, where are they? Where are the dead? You can't see them because they don't exist anymore. So death and the unseen. Death is the thing. Unseen is the result. Death is what makes you not alive. And the unseen is like, what happened? Where is he? Where'd he go? Where is she? Where'd they go? They're dead. All right. And the death and the unseen followed him, and jurisdiction was given them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the saber and with famine and with plague and by the wild beasts of the earth. The wild beasts, by the way, are going to be ravenous, and they're going to seek human beings and kill them. But mainly we're looking at plague here. And saber, people are going to be killing one another for food, I think. It's going to get bad, very, very bad. But the plague is going to create death and the unseen. Now, what are some of the plagues in history? This is going to be the plague of all plagues, but there have been, I looked at the top 10 plagues in history, because this is what I do. I'm Martin Zender, and I study plagues for you. And I drink wine as I do it, to just tweak the senses a little bit. Take the edge off. That's what wine does. It just takes the edge off slightly, but not a lot, unless you drink a lot, which I don't tend to do. I just drink enough to just, yeah, get a little happier than I am generally. So, oh my gosh, 11 minutes. Got to get into more of this plague here. Now, I'm a little confused on this point. It says that jurisdiction was given over death and Hades, the Green Horse Rider, over a fourth of the earth to kill. Now, does this mean that a fourth of the earth is going to be killed, or that only a fourth of the earth is going to be affected by this? Now, since these are global plagues, I believe that a fourth of the inhabitants of the earth are going to be killed. I'm not going to be adamant about this, because it could be that only a fourth of the earth is going to be affected. Now, folks, we had a recent scare with the Ebola virus. Viruses are responsible for plagues. These things, once they get in the system, they spread like crazy. And there was a big scare. It's called a pandemic, is what results when a virus goes wild. A virus will go viral, if you will. And the worst case of this in the history of the world was the Black Plague. And I had it here. Where are you, Black Plague? I need you, Black Plague. Hang on a second while I find it. I have some statistics for you that will disturb you. But I disturb you, again, that's the bad news. I disturb you for a purpose, to set you up for the good news. I can't find the plague. I have information here about 10 natural remedies for headache, but I don't have information on the plague. Well, look it up for yourself. The Black Plague. Okay, here it is. Here it is. From 1347 to 1351, 4 years, the Black Plague killed many. I'm just going to read to you. The Black Death, also known as the Black Plague or Bubonic Plague, was one of the deadliest pandemics in human history until this sucker that's coming up. But anyway, widely thought to have been caused by a bacterium named Yersinia pestis. They named the bacterium Yersinia. Have anybody seen Yersinia? Yeah, she just killed, 10 people in your household. Yersinia pestis, but recently attributed by some to other diseases. The origins of the plague are disputed among scholars. Some historians believe the pandemic began in China or Central Asia in the late 1320s or 1330s. What difference does it make? During the next years, merchants and soldiers carried it over the caravan routes until in 1346 it reached the Crimea in southern Russia. So here we have carrier routes, soldiers who are in movement, carrying it from one place to another. In the case of the Ebola, it was people, airline passengers coming from Africa to the United States and other places. The total number of deaths worldwide, here's the shocking part, is estimated at 75 million people. I mean, we freak out over 911. It was terrible. 2,500 people died. Same in the Titanic. Great disaster. Great loss of life. 2,000. We're talking 75 million. This is what a little tiny thing you can't even see with your naked eye can do. And we dodged the bullet with Ebola. But the time is coming, following the war, following the famine, where we're not going to dodge the bullet. And a plague is going to kill. The total number worldwide, 75 million, approximately 25 to 50 million of which occurred in Europe. This plague, by the way, spread from southern Russia into western Europe and North Africa in the 1340s. Now, taking the present, oh my gosh, I got to close up. Taking the present, I'm going to tell you how many people could possibly die from this. I'm going to tell you that tomorrow. Get yourself a bottle of wine, make your face glow with olive oil, and be with here tomorrow as we talk about mass death. Part 2.